City Council and direct the clerk to take roll.
Councilmember Sanchez.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Flores.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez.
Here.
Mayor Kimball.
Here. Thank you. Would everyone please join me in standing for the flag salute?
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a new flag. It's all pretty and like it's been folded. All right, our first item is our public comment period. The public invited to speak on any subject under our jurisdiction. Would anyone wish to address the council?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair, and Sinclair Media, Fox Network, Fox Sports. Another thing, when I was younger, I, like around 17, I founded a company, in Visalia, Cigna Healthcare, and, there was a good project that, I got to do with the past mayor here, Mayor Murray, and worked with the city of Visalia. And another thing, I founded a Family Healthcare Network on Bridge Street in Visalia. That was the very first one. And now it's in two counties, I believe. Tulare County and Fresno County. And something I was thinking about, I was watching the news, and I said that I was going to mention a medical procedure of a disc seal for people that have back injuries. And I want to mention anybody that's in medical insurance. I would like you to be behind providing insurance for this medical procedure called disc seal. And thank you very much. Again, my name is Eric Sinclair. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, we will close public comment and go to council reports, beginning with Councilmember Flores. Anything to report tonight?
Gosh, it's been a while. The rib cook-off was awesome. There was a lot of people. That was great. We had, you know, something that I hadn't brought up was some of the community members were wanting the trees. I think we discussed it, Brett. Some more trees being planted in the parks. So we'll see if we could get together with some organizations and make that happen. Other than that, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe we can, in our ad hoc committee, talk about the trees and the park committee. Yeah, we could possibly do that. Just one little thing. So there is an Eagle Project, Boy Scouts of America Eagle Project, that will be happening very soon. And we're going to try to take the old fire bell that's been sitting close to the ground in front of the fire station and build a new, very nice stand for it out here in the circular planter out near, right behind the bus stop. and with brick pillars and a nice plaque, and with the hopes of, I mean, I think it'll look very nice out there, and the city has had some really good ideas, and Gary Milling from the Fire Museum has had some great ideas, so it's been really nice collaboration, and with the idea, too, that once that's done, and possibly creating a walking tour for our elementary students, you know, start at the museum, go to the labyrinth, you got the great big slab of redwood, over to the fire bell, then to the fire museum, and then maybe end up at the library. So that's a possibility too. So we've got that up and coming. So appreciate everybody's help.
Do you know if the bell has a clapper still or no?
Well,
I wonder if we're going to be ringing that bell or if it's...
it's a little too close to the ground to be able to tell. So obviously once we
Mike's
lift it up...
Mike's kind of shaking his head. Is that because you don't know or because you just... Okay.
Yeah, but once we lift it up, we'll obviously be able to tell. We're hoping that there's one there. With all the dings on the outside of the bell, they may have had a hammer.
I don't know if it's there or not.
Yeah. So we'll let the city decide whether there needs to be one there or not. We'll just get it up over there. So, so appreciate all the help.
Thank you. Councilwoman Sanchez, anything to report tonight?
Well, I already had mentioned it to Brett, but I'll go ahead and mention it here. Regarding there, I did have somebody come up to me regarding the signs over there by the roundabout, the new one. He said that that's like a lot of signs too as you're coming.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But he expressed that once the trees or plants or whatever start, hopefully that'll clear some of those signs. And if not, then maybe we can think of removing or changing.
Wondered once people get used to it, maybe?
I don't know. They just said it's a lot of signs right now to be reading once you get to the roundabout.
I think wasn't the big difference between that location and this one is all the pedestrian traffic for the school kids. That's was one thing that came up, why they had all the pedestrian signs up there.
Well, and also the lack of information, people not knowing how to use it.
Right. Good point.
You know what somebody had mentioned since you brought up that museum? Is there, somebody mentioned that there used to be a jail behind, I think, by the orange?
There is.
Is that still on?
The building is still there. Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, it's recently sold to the orange, right?
Yes.
The orange
it did?
Yeah.
He bought it.
Oh.
We
just
approved
a big square.
It's not the one next. It's not where there's an empty. That's not the one
behind it.
Directly south.
Yeah.
He'd been using it, apparently, for storage.
Orange Blossom had stuff in there. City had stuff in there for Christmas time. We kind of turned it into a storage unit. So we purchased that. We purchased the parking area.
Oh, okay.
Well, the museum has a few old pictures of the jail.
Oh, okay.
Anybody?
Somebody had mentioned that. I'm like, okay, that was it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Laura? To report tonight.
Oddly enough, I don't have anything now.
I just wanted to just quickly report that I did an interview for Hopper in the Morning. They called and asked. I did the program for Kiwanis Club this last week. So I would say mainly people were interested in like the road work going on, whether there's business opportunities, so, you know, having a chance to say, well, Dollar General's coming and cannabis is coming, and that people were interested in those kinds of things. Also attended with Brett today the Water Roundtable discussion that was convened by State Senator Hurtado. That was well conducted, well attended. The senator had a panel that included chair of the State Water Resources Control Board. So he basically was the one that was answering questions and taking an input. I thought it was a good discussion. It was very wide-ranging, but we all pretty much have the same issues. And hopefully we got a little better idea of what's available out there, contacts that we needed to make, and a path to follow in seeking help from the senator, whether it's with water or with anything else. And with that, we'll turn it over to Brett for staff update.
So we've had a couple of really positive responses from the public recently on our social media accounts. I just want to express appreciation for that. We have people on there, and they are giving good feedback. We're having more questions come that way. Pretty quick response time on those, and so we're keeping things moving in that direction. We'll go through this pretty quick tonight. We've had the fire lieutenant interviews. Those are done. We're getting ready to extend an offer in that. And then I will be in the public safety department this coming Friday. I'll spend the day with them. The streets were through majority of the work on the initial phase of the projects, so moving on to the heavier ones. You may have seen the construction out here in Mirage getting ready. So it's exciting to see that moving along with the other projects. Mm-hmm. And then thanks to the Port Bell Recorder, Alexis had a really nice article in there earlier this week. I hope all of you saw it.
You
can send you a copy of it.
Very nice.
There were a lot of really good responses. As you kind of branched out through the social media to see individuals' comments on their own pages, it was more there. And so it was really nice to see that for them. A couple other things. So I did send a detailed list of the different activities that City Surge has been doing this last month to council tonight in emails. So please check your emails for that. And then with the Wellness Center, we do have the full-time and part-time interviews were held last Friday. I believe. I've not heard how those have gone yet. We need a full-time person there to replace a staff member and then some part-time help as well. And we're still waiting to hear from the hospital board if they're going to accept the changes they asked for and move forward with that agreement or not. So we hope to get word back from them soon. Finance. We're going through the background review for finance and accounting manager. Again, we'll set an audit on the 10th. We're still on track for that. Shut off this month will be on the 20th, and the last day to pay before penalty is the 25th. Last one will be closed on Thanksgiving Day, the day after, and have a roundtable coming up on the 22nd with the faith leaders. Had a good one with the business leaders a week ago, and then the community one will be on December 20th. We've signed a couple of new agreements recently, one with Unicode. So we went to the self-publishing to do updates to our code. It's going to get things out to the public right away. Unicode also manages website designs and Unicode meetings. And so they would handle the agendas for these meetings, give us a way to put those together. We go in when we have online, timestamp the video or the audio to match up with the different agenda items and have one place for people to go to for all that information. ClearGov is the other one. They are the transparency and budgeting software. And so that one will be out first, the meeting code, because they're completely redesigned our website. It's going to be probably a 3-month process, just checking on that before we migrate over. That when those are both up and going, it's going to be a nice collection there. Our intern that's been working on employee spotlights, those are looking really good. We have several of those put together now. We'll start releasing them soon.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get a collection set up first and release them on a systematic order there, so we don't lose the benefit of having them too quickly. And then I believe interviews for city manager stuff for the 4th with the community and professionals panel, and then on the 10th with the council. So that's how that one's going. That's all I have tonight. Any questions?
Questions for Brett? Thank you. I really like that little format where you're going down the list there. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. One thing I forgot to mention was the Foothill Rotary of Lindsay is having a meet and greet for leaders, neighbors, and just the community in general this Thursday from 6 to 7:30 at China's Mexican Restaurant.
I can't make that, but it would be good if anyone from the council can.
I'm going to try to make it.
All right. Next item, our consent calendar. There are 4 items on consent, but we want to pull for discussion the item number 4. because there's just a little bit change to that. But we can approve with one motion the minutes from October 22nd, the warrant list for the 15th, and the treasurer's report for October. What action would the council like to take?
Move for approval.
Moved by Watson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Sanchez for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. And we'll ask Mr. Harmon to take up item number four.
Right, so item number four is amendment resolution 1929. This is one that you adopted earlier or passed earlier this year for the Parks Grant. State got back to us and said you need to specifically identify Olive Bowl and Kaku Park in the resolution, which we did in the one that's in your packet, but in title only. And they said that they wanted in the therefore line as well. So new therefore line says, now therefore, the City Council of the City of Lindsay hereby approves the filing of an application for the Kaku Park Olive Bowl revitalization project and resolved as follows. The rest of the resolution is identical to what is in your packet, simply adding the identification of the park names to the therefore.
Okay. Thank you, Brett. So, are there any questions on that? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve 1929 as amended.
Move for approval.
Moved by Cortez. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Sanchez. Would the clerk please take roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez.
Aye.
Councilmember Sanchez.
Aye.
Councilmember Watson.
Aye.
Councilmember Flores.
Aye.
Mayor Kimball.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number four is the 2020 census presentation we have with us tonight. Barbara Martin, partner specialist at the Los Angeles Regional Census Center. Welcome.
Hi. I guess we don't need to wrap that. Good evening. Thanks for having me this evening. As Mayor mentioned, I'm Barbara Martin, partnership specialist for covering Kings County, Tulare, and wherever else I'm needed within the Central Valley. I live in Kings County. I live in Lemoore. I have a family with my a family farm. The whole gang lives there. We also, before joining the census, I was a community relations coordinator for Kings County Farm Bureau. So my definitely been ag oriented. I am a third generation dairy farmer. So this is a whole new gig for me. If someone told me I was working for the federal government 5 years ago, I just would have never believed it. But I really have to say I'm enjoying it, and I appreciate the opportunity to get into my areas and to meet with people like you. I trained in Los Angeles, and it's a big different feel. They don't get us out here in the country in the rural areas, but they also don't get to encounter such heartwarming areas as well. My first gig that I did right out of training was the Lindsay Health Fair, and that was a lot of fun. So it's nice to be back here again today. So census, you know, I have to admit, and I'm embarrassed to say, I really didn't even think about the census before I started working there. I don't even remember participating in it. And I hope that is not one of the reasons why the Central Valley was completely undercounted. And I didn't realize how devastating it is for an undercount. I know in Kings County we're personally feeling it. In my training in Los Angeles, it's a national training. So every partnership specialist in the whole United States gets the same training. And Kings County was a scenario. And it was not a good scenario. It was of our undercount. So, you know, why the census? I'm learning, as a lot of people in the Central Valley are learning, you know, it is law, it's apportionment, it's redistricting, it's civic engagement, it's our democracy. But I think, you know, we all know the real importance is the distribution of funds, $675 billion with a B funds that is distributed through the data that the census collects. That's some big bucks. There's different terms, but basically it's $2,000 per person that is allotted by, you know, by that being roads, parks, a lot of things you were talking about on your agendas today, that money comes from census data. So key dates, we are right in the middle of it. We have opened our field offices. They're getting staffed. We have one in Kern County and then one in Fresno that's been opened up. Complete count committees that have been that are established and are still getting established. And we're starting a lot of the PSAs, you know, social media. It's happening, and Census Day is April 1st, 2020. I said, well, why would... April 1st. I just thought that was an odd day, but 200 years ago, they decided that was going to be Census Day. And so that is for a snapshot of who was in the United States at that time. So this is the first time in 200 years that you can go online, use your mobile, your phone, and you can actually respond. I think this is great. We're really pushing. We're hoping that communities encourage self-response. Of course, it saves taxpayer dollars. But it is also, I think, a nice way for people that don't want that knock on the door to be able to respond, get the numbers in, and respond and feel like maybe they're still under the radar. But they can still go on by phone or paper form as usual. So how it kind of works is March 12th, they'll be sending out an invitation respond online. Some households will receive paper questionnaires. You know, then there's that gentle reminder letter. If you haven't responded yet, there's three more. And then after that, we will be knocking on doors for response. So the big, are the answers protected? Is my data protected? Am I safe? I don't want to be giving these people this information. I've heard so many stories about, you know, then President Trump's going to come, he's going to take us out of here, and, you know, lots and lots of fear has been put into a lot of the population. Before that fear was even made up by the media, there's just that normal stuff. When there's, you know, someone knocking on my door, I live in the country, I'm really leery on answering. If someone's calling my phone and wants to ask questions, you know, I know when we get to share with people like yourselves that can hopefully spread the word that yes, it is fully protected. All of the answers are protected by law. It's Title 13 of the U.S. Code. I'm sworn as well as my other team members on the census, and we have up to 5 years of imprisonment or a $250,000 fine, and that oath is for life. It's not just for our tour of duty. It is for life. We don't share any of that data with any cross government agencies. We don't care if someone, you know, owes child support. We don't care if someone's, you know, garage that has people living there is not permitted. Sorry, city planners, but we don't care and we don't share that information. We just need the data. Without having that data, then we cannot report the numbers to get our fair share. We're trying to be very supportive in many languages. So available in Spanish as well as English, everything this available the same. So enumerator instruments, paper questionnaire, mailings, a field enumeration, everything in English and in Spanish. We also have 12 non-English languages that have the internet option. So someone can go on and say they want to speak, you know, participate in Haitian Creole. They would be able to do so with an online questionnaire. Then there's also 59 non-English languages that will have like a language glossary, identification cards, print, and some video. They're partnering with, you know, lots of grassroots organizations as well as partnership specialists that myself that are trained in that. We have a tribal specialist. We have Hmong specialist, and I really do think that from 10 years ago, the census realized that this Central Valley was very forgotten. And they realized, especially California, they've put millions of dollars into a California Complete Count Committee. And they have people hired in those hard-to-count, low-response areas. Right now, we're right in the midst of hiring jobs, 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 and we at the census are having a hard time filling those positions. Like a lot of people in the Central Valley, we're having a hard time finding a job pool. So these jobs are available, basically 18 years of age or older, valid Social Security number, U.S. citizen, valid email address. They must apply online. There is the question of hiring non-residents for translation services. There's no final word on that, but I'm telling everyone that thinks that they might want to apply to apply. This is what the website looks like. Access, you click on that. Very simple job application. For the most part, there's some extra questions for supervisory. I'm suggesting everyone, even if they don't have a lot of supervisory experience, to apply for that. Again, we're having a hard time filling this job pool. There's also usajobs.gov. They have some of the higher supervisory applications there. So I'm also welcome people to go on there, and you know, you can feel things as well. The census jobs are temporary. Like my tour duty was from May of last year till September of 2020, but it's also a good opportunity, you know, to get your foot in the door. So I mentioned a little bit about complete count committees. Tulare County has received funds from the California Complete Count Committee, and they are doing a great job. That chair is Barbara Pilegarden. She's with the Tulare County Governments, and she is putting a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and doing mini grants. I don't know if anyone from the City of Lindsay is involved. I would say if not, you should be, and I'm happy to get that contact information to you. Complete count committees are so important in naming those people that have the hands-on experience, especially like faith-based communities, community organizations that put us, you know, in front of them, and also to educate those. So I'm working a lot with Tulare County Office of Education. I was just on three of their staff development days. And I think that's probably the best source, because those teachers were not even quite sure. They're like, okay, I guess census is important. But they didn't, you know, you don't really realize how much of funding comes from there. Head Start, you know, I explained, they know Kings County, Tulare County, there's waiting lists for Head Start programs. This is one of the most valuable things that we have for our young committee. And if we don't have those funds available, so that kind of hit home, like, wow, you know, this is tied to Head Start, to early education programs. So they get it now. So they can go to their families and say, if we need to participate, we need to have these programs available. So complete count committees are very, very important to get us to those people that can reach those demographics. So partnering, you know, partnerships with organizations that support communities, nonprofit organizations. I'm working with Kings. I'm on a team for counting the homeless, so working very closely with Kings Tulare Homeless Alliance. Those social services, we need to get our homeless counted. I worked a bit with the homeless voluntarily before I got started with this job. And, you know, so San Francisco and LA, they count their homeless, and then they send them, and they get money for that, and then they send them on a bus or a train to us here in the Central Valley, and this is where they end up. They don't send their money, but they send them. So it is very, very important that we get our homeless counted. There are some logistics that are a problem, which I understand with cities. I mean, no one wants to count a whole lot of homeless in their cities. It's not great for other businesses to come in. So we have to find that nice medium, you know, to get them counted, get those funds that we need for them. All HUD vouchers are based on census data numbers. So identifying those hard to count areas, those populations. So, you know, the city of Lindsay, it's proper is not a problem. You know, it's not a hard to count, but you know, just outside there is, and so knowing those areas and the people that we know to identify that with, there's tools for that. So this is the Response Outreach Area Mapper Roam. This is a data application that is updated regularly. It's hard to see, but so basically I put Lindsay's zip code there at the top, and then it came up with all of this information. So that little bar, and that scrolls down, so you have all of the different demographics of Lindsay right there, and it's a free app. You go to census.gov/roam, and you can pull up all kinds of statistics. So where the city of Lindsay is not the dark blue. The dark blue is a low response area, but you can see how much is a low response area outside of that, and it's not very far. So I encourage you to go on there and poke around. There's a lot of great, you know, poverty levels, high school graduation levels, elderly, young, you know, infants. So how we can help. So having this opportunity to speak to you this evening, that helps. It's helping us, me, to get the word out to you and hopefully to get out the words to key players. If you know, signing someone to work on the Tulare County Complete Count Committee, or creating your own small Complete Count Committee. Those are great ways, introducing me to those, you know, services so I can work with them and give them trainings. That's all very important because it's all about response and a good, solid response and good numbers. You know, it's in our rural areas, we have a lot of, you know, mobile homes and dwellings, and those, the owners of those dwellings don't want to necessarily get them their mail. I'm a perfect example of they've just are finishing up with address canvassing. So I work from home that in my position, and I'm in the country, and I get a knock at the door, and it's a young girl, and you know, she's got her badge on like me, and I open the door. She says, "Hello, I'm with the Census Bureau." I'm like, "Wow, I'm with the Census Bureau." And it was a great opportunity for me to see what they do. They never, you know, address canvassing especially will never ask any personal questions. Her question was for me, as they located four of our mobile homes in the back of our property, and she wanted to know if they receive their own mail. I said, "Well, no, all their mail comes to me, and then it's distributed out." So we decided to label them A, B, C, and D. But that was their only question. So no one is out in the fields asking any questions. We already have enough fraud and things like that they're starting with. And I know that there will be more. No social security numbers. They won't be going in the home. They won't be asking anything right now, especially other than buildings, if there's someone living there, or, you know, if they're there full time, those types of things. But nothing personal information. They never, ever ask personal information. So our next steps is to generate the readiness, you know, for participation for 2020. We're in November. I don't know where this year's gone. And so we have to get people ready. We have to be, you know, putting, you know, just not just one and done. It has to be, you know, people need to visualize it. So if in utility bills, if we can put a logo, or if we can put it on your website about the census, I already see, you know, a lot of our, you know, TJ Cox has that on his website, and on his mailing, things like that. So those, all those little visuals are really important, because, you know, if they're getting it from you guys, it must be safe. And so, again, there's anywhere, I noticed that there was an event on the 22nd for faith-based organizations, a roundtable. If there was any way I could be a part of that, that for 5 minutes, I don't have to talk as long as I'm doing now, but just to get the word out, that would be great.
7:30 that morning.
Okay. Well, thank you. Great. I will look you up on that, because those are great in just a few minutes. And those are those trusted faces, faith-based organizations, teachers. They are trusted sources of information and helping us recruit for jobs. And I think that's my last. that's my contact information, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Questions for Barbara at this point?
Well, I mean, I was just wondering how difficult it would be to get some information on the utility bills. I know we use postcards, so I don't know how that would be. But if there's something we could do, that would be...
Have other jurisdictions done this already?
Yes, okay, so I can get that.
So you've got some ideas of what...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like three or four lines, maybe a total of 16, 18 words. We have room on the back of our card.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe like a logo and just a couple, you know, their one is count, you know, counting once, it you know, only once and in the right place. Yeah. So that's a pretty simple story. I can send it and then we can go from there. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and then on our website as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything about the data or anything you think might be concerns in your area? I know I'm between Riverdale and Lemoore, and there's a lot of, you know, so a lot of fear within the Hispanic community and participation and, you know, ways to outreach to them and you know, and that usually that's been through teachers. For myself personally, I work through my church a lot. We've just settled in a family of seven Honduras refugees with full refugee status. They're wearing an ankle bracelet. And he's received his work permit and so I'm really looking forward. I haven't shared that in like, oh, you got to do the census, but I'm going to be happily encouraging them to participate in the census. You know, I think they're the perfect, you know, story through all the mess we hear. I think they're just, they're so happy to be here and so grateful and they don't mind wearing the bracelet, you know, the ankle bracelet, you know, and that kind of assures them that they know where they're at, have them go through all of their hearings, and the kids are already established in schools. So, you know, so I'm encouraging, you know, that participation, but it takes someone, they've seen me a lot, so they'll, you know, trust me. But, you know, if you some other government officials knocking at the door, they might not feel as comfortable.
And thank you for the presentation. I know it's something that I've been asking about here locally. And like you said, you know, when the people that like the faith-based organizations, schools, or even city staff are the ones encouraging the participation, I think that they trust us to where it's like, yes, we'll do it. And so that takes me to my next question. Have you touched bases with the Lindsay Unified School District yet? Have they reached
out? I have not. So okay. No, and I'm not sure. So with the Tulare County Complete Count Committee, you know, so education's pretty, so I don't know if there's someone that's on that Complete Count Committee, but I haven't myself, and I feel like it's such a valuable thing to do is to speak to the teachers. So I would love to have someone's contact information. Like I said, staff development days, parent-teacher conferences. I've went down to Wasco and did a parent-teacher conference, and you get to interact a little bit with the parents. It's not quite the same as me, myself working with the teachers, and then the teachers encouraging that. It's a little bit more rushed. Like it appeared, but I'll go anywhere.
Thank you. I had a question about a city representation on the Tulare County Complete Count Census. So I understand that Becky is on that committee, but I don't know, we haven't heard any. I mean, I was told by Barbara Pilligard that Becky was on that committee. I don't know if she goes to meetings. We're not getting any updates from that.
So yeah, it would be really, because there's been funding, so, you know, and people are doing, so Kings County, for example, they've kind of put all of their money in one thing, and that is working with Proteus, and they have two mobile units with 11 or 12 computers each, and they will go out into these hard reach communities, like we're going to Avenal, and you know, to encourage participation and have the bus available. So those mobile kiosks, we're going. So that is a great. That's going to, I think, work very effectively. Proteus is a name that's trusted, and that libraries are huge. You know, so if you could obtain a mini grant, for example, to be open on a Sunday and have have a little event at the library where people, or a kiosk, and have, you know, kiosks open. And a lot of times those would need to be open on a Saturday or a Sunday. So that takes additional staff to man those and that. And so mini grants through the Tulare County, a complete count committee, are available for those types of functions. So I would encourage someone, you know, to really take advantage of that. But we don't have any money of the federal government part. I can get you a chip clip or some lip gloss, you know, some chapsticks, but that's about it. Anything else? Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, and please reach out, and then we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, our next item is Resolution 1955, Authorization of Application for SB2 Planning Funds.
Yes, so...
Can anybody write down her contact?
We have this presentation. Would you like it just to know the whole
Yes. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Drive safe.
Thank you.
Start writing down notes to it and realize we don't have this. All right, so Resolution 1955 for SB2. This is one that we had on consent 2 meetings ago and pulled it. A little more investigation on it. The summary of it is that there's $160,000 in the state earmarked for Lindsay, and we need to submit an application for different planning services to access this grant money to meet the qualifications for it, and they will send that. Part of the process is the state has identified different groups that they are paying to be assistance to cities to put the grant application together. And so we've been working with those assistants over the last couple of weeks to get ours really dialed into where we want it. And what we're applying for is 5 different main projects. All of these fit under the primary goals of SB2. So it helps to ensure that we're going to have a pass. They've read our application. This assistant group is ready to go. So project number 1 is a zoning update. We need our zoning ordinance up to date with more current state law. And so we'll have money that goes into that. Project 2 is a subdivision ordinance update. We're quite out of date on that one and need to get things like incorporating the recent Subdivision Map Act changes, and to reduce the ambiguity and unpredictability of that process. And so we'll have some money set aside for that cleanup as well. Number 3 is updating the city improvement standards. These are quite outdated, and Mike's smiling over there. So we get those updated, so it gives us some financial means to get that done. Number 4 is an enhanced web platform for municipal code and upgrade website with cross-referencing and searching functionality. That's what I was talking about earlier with the Unicode part, what they're doing, we'll pay for out of these funds. And that's to get it where both developers and residents can easily access and search and understand what's going on in municipal code and what's required for them. And then the 5th item is to modernize and improve the planning information system. We're out there on this one. We want to move to a GIS-centric planning system that's going to help both developers and internal staff understand our community and to have the tools we need there to really make that go. And so we'll have some software updates with that for purchases. We'll have some hardware purchases. And those are things that will fit well together with our engineering system. Are both going to training soon on GIS, and so it will be just the right time for all of that. And so we've been back and forth with the state. We're looking good on that, and we feel comfortable with those. If you go to the end of the application that's in your packet, towards the end, you see that the breakout of how much we're asking for project. And that's going to be on.
Seven of 15.
And
So that is that out in conjunction with the application. They've given us a sample resolution that you have to fit this resolution wording, and that's what this resolution tonight is, taking these five projects and inserting them to their structure.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this time on this? As I've looked at it, it seems a really big improvement over what we were looking at last month. So thank you for pulling that and working on that.
Can you include like permits and stuff, or is that already included in the codes and searchable? Like, you know, when I've had people, do you need a permit for this? I'm like, I don't know. Go to the city. Call the city. I'm like, I don't know.
Part of that is the standards that we're updating to let them know what they need and when they need it.
Okay.
And also part of what we're doing with our community outreach and transparency stuff is bringing videos together for people that, hey, I want to build a carport. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And we'll have not just the forms there for them, but also videos that show, hey, that's what I want to do. How do I go about doing it?
Oh,
take
okay.
the steps. Nice. So we're moving that direction.
That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's as quick as we get it done, we're getting it done. That's the vision we have.
And the cost on these, it's pretty extensive for the planning processes and the zoning ordinance. While the others are half the price. Is there a reason for that?
So the zoning ordinance update is going to be a lot of time that goes into it. It's going to be consultant time getting that together. And so that one originally was about $100,000. We've cut it down and said we're not doing that much. We're going to take that money that was in there and move it over to these other projects. The updating subdivision ordinances, that's one that is not nearly as costly as time consuming. The improvement standards, again, it's a lot of time going to that rewrite. The enhancement for the website, the bill for that's $12,500. And so we've got the $13,000 there in case there's any change orders we need to do along the way. And then the $60,000 for the technology and the update. We'll need to upgrade the system, the computer systems, have the screens for it. It would involve tablets for people out in the field that are doing the inspections, and the licensing for the GIS systems and that build for us.
It's all paid for by this grant.
It's all paid for by the grant.
Very nice opportunity to get some of this stuff done.
Yeah, sure.
So one of my questions, maybe I shouldn't have been that, but was, so once this is updated, this is part of the general plan, right? This is all
there are pieces that you want. We've been working on the housing section. We've been working on environmental justice. We have both of those in December when Carl comes back to discuss those. We at first were going to include funding here for this, but it's not one of the primary objectives. And so we dropped those in preference for these. But that general plan, all of that's going to be part of the information we have online. But that's not the municipal code. It's a separate.
Okay, thank you. If there's no more questions, what action would the council like to take?
Move for approval.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Cortez, seconded by Watson. Would the clerk please take roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Cortez?
Aye.
Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Sanchez?
Aye.
Councilmember Flores?
Aye.
Mayor Kimball?
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Our final item is request for future items. Anyone has a request at this time? And if not, go ahead.
Just a minute. Do we need to review the market, the Friday night market, or approve anything with that? I thought there was some things going on with that.
You know, they had their last market the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, or this week on the 15th, they'll be here all day. I understand open for those that want to sign up for spot next week. They're still working on a proposal they want to bring to us to talk about what goes on next year. I know there's interest in expanding the footprint, and we'll be talking about all of that once they have a proposal together.
Okay.
And so I meet with Susanna tomorrow afternoon, so she may be bringing more information to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
anything else? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to know the cost of our intention.